Well, I wonder if we could turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 again. We're going to read once again from the first verse of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. First Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word afresh. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the precious word of God to our souls. We thank thee for these people here that Paul was writing to in Thessalonica. We thank thee, Lord, for the way that in the midst of persecution they grew in grace and stood for God against all the onslaughts of the propaganda of the world and the bully tactics of the opposition. We thank thee that they stood for thee. And we pray that we might do the same in our day and generation. Bless thy word and be with us now, we'd ask of thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is verse 3 of the portion of Scripture. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now we started to look at the Epistle of Paul, the first Epistle of Paul, to the Thessalonians the last time, and we thought about the founding of the church in Thessalonica. We read about it in Acts chapter 17, how that after Paul and Silas had been persecuted and thrown into prison in Philippi and their feet made fast in the stocks, how that the earthquake had come from God and brought them out. But we think of how they'd been flogged and put in prison in Philippi. And Paul makes reference to this in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2. He said, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So they left the persecution that they had been enduring in Philippi. They made their way to Thessalonica, and as Paul usually did, he went into the synagogue to preach the word, and many believed. There were many Jews that believed, and also many of the Greeks, the Gentiles, also believed, so much so that a church was founded in Thessalonica. And the stir that was being caused in the community raised up the jealousy of many of the Jews. And they sent in some lewd fellows of the baser sort, as the Bible says, hoodlums. and they went in to disrupt the meeting. So they went to where the Christians were meeting, in the house of a man by the name of Jason. And because Paul wasn't there, they proceeded to take Jason out and to beat him up. And they hauled him before the magistrates, and the magistrates put a fine on Jason that if there was any more trouble, that he would lose this sum of money. So Paul and Silas felt that rather than endanger the money that Jason had to pay, that they were going to have to leave Thessalonica. But that didn't mean that Paul lost his love and concern for the people in Thessalonica. He wondered, you can well imagine, he was wondering how these new Christians, after all these people had only come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were a matter of a few days old as far as their Christianity was concerned. So you can well imagine that Paul was worried that in the midst of the persecution and in the midst of the fact that they were being attacked, that they would go back to their old way of living, that they would abandon their Christianity. So Paul is really concerned, and you find in the book of Thessalonians how that he sent Timothy back to find out what was happening. Were these Christians still standing? And obviously Timothy comes back with a good report. Because you'll see that at the start of this book, you look at verse 2 there, that Paul gives thanks. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So Timothy obviously comes back with a good report and tells Paul that these people are standing. These people are not bowing down to the onslaughts of persecution that is coming against them, even though they were just a matter of a few days old as far as their Christianity was concerned. They're still standing. And Paul is so thankful for what he hears from Timothy. And you'll read in the chapter here many of the things that he is thankful for. But what I want to do is just to look at what he's thankful for in verse 3 today. Now, he's thankful for three things. He's thankful for your work of faith. He's thankful for their labor of love. And he's thankful for their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, faith, love, and hope. Those three things are what he's thankful for. He heard about these things in the church. And I want you to see that these are spiritual qualities. He doesn't go first of all to the fact that they were preaching, although I suppose that's a spiritual thing too, but it wasn't that they were giving to the church or building a church or whatever it was. The primary thing that he's thankful for is for their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John Calvin called those three graces together a brief definition of true Christianity. And so it is vital that any church, and we as a church of God, we as the church of God as God's people, should manifest those three things. These are the things that Paul picks out. This is the first thing that he's thankful to God for about these people. This is the first thing that he's looking for in these people, a work of faith, a patience of hope, and a labor of love. And if we're going to be God's people, and if we're going to be a New Testament church, and if we're going to stand for God, then those three things need to be true of us. So what I want to do today just is stop a minute and try and discern exactly what Paul means by these things. If these are vital, if these are things that need to be seen, are they seen in you and me? Are we manifesting these things? What is he talking about when he talks about their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's just look at that for a few minutes today. And I want you, first of all, to see the signs that he sees. We want to look at these three things that he mentions here, the work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Now, we know that this is not the only time that Paul mentions these three graces. These are things that are mentioned time and time again. These are the things that Paul is looking for as he looks at any of the churches. For example, if you were just to turn back to the last book in the Bible there, the book of Colossians, and you were to turn to chapter 1 of the book of Colossians and look at verses 3 and 4, this is what he gives thanks to God about the Colossian church. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." So once again, Paul is thankful for the Colossians, and the first thing that he's thankful for is faith, love, and hope. Now, I want you to notice about those three graces that they speak of past, present, and future. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and for the work that he has done on the center cross of Calvary, and in many ways, for a child of God, that is past. What he has done there in the cross is past. We have faith in the work of God and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. That's past. And then our labor of love, that ought to be present. That's something that God's people should be involved in now. And then our patience of hope. And that's future, because we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is going to bring his people to, and to the ultimate end of our salvation. So you have past, present, and future. So it encompasses everything. It is encompassing what a child of God should be, and it is encompassing all phases of our lives. So what does he mean? Well, let's just think about the work of faith. In Greek, there is a definite article, or the word "the," in that phrase. It's the work of the faith. And the verse then is speaking about the faith. But there are two things there. There's work and faith. The work of faith. Now, very often we count those two things to be opposite one from the other. We often preach that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and that we're not saved by works. We think of the verse in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, faith is believing and receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. And that rest is our delight, our satisfaction, that Christ has done it all, and we just rest in what he has done. And we rest and receive what Christ has finished for us on the cross. But on the other hand, we think about what James said. He says in James 2 and 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So James says, "I will show you my faith by my works." Now, Paul, what he said, it seems that faith and works are opposite one to one another. But James now says that works are something that go along with faith. And in verse 20 of the same chapter, he says, "But what wilt thou, man, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And the fact is that true saving faith, you don't work for your salvation. You can't merit your salvation. You can't do anything that will in any way commend you to God for your salvation. But on the other hand, if it is a true saving faith, it will result in works. It'll change you. You'll be different. Let me think about a man who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man who seeks the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, what will happen to that man? Well, first of all, probably he will praise and glorify God. He will go home rejoicing in the fact that the burden of his sin has been lifted, that he has a new lightness in his heart. The guilt and the conscience that was weighing down upon him, all of that has been lifted, and there's a new joy in his heart, and he'll rejoice. Now, that's a work of faith. And then maybe as he goes home, what will he do? He'll tell his wife, or he'll tell his family, you know, tonight I came and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he'll want to tell others about the fact that he is saved. And that's a work of faith. And you can see there that his faith, it's not by works, but it resulted in works. He was changed, he was transformed. And this change, this work of faith, begins a lifelong process. At the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit awakens within the heart of the true child of God a willingness to praise and worship God and to give to God and to do what we can for God and to be servants of God. And I wonder, is that true of us today? He says here in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 about the Thessalonians, for they themselves report concerning us what manner of entrance we had to you and how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You can see what happened with the Thessalonians. They were idol worshippers. They were pagans. But when they came and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they turned from idols. That's a work of faith. And Paul sees this, and Timothy has reported this to him, that there's a change. Something has happened in the life of these Thessalonians. They're not what they used to be. They are changed by the grace of God. And there is something different. And there ought to be something different in the life of the child of God. Maybe you, in your relationship with others, were very harsh. Maybe in your relationship with others, you were unkind in your behavior. But when you came and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it changed that. Maybe you were a kind of a person that got involved in the shadier side of life. And you were apt to maybe take things that weren't yours, or you got involved in with people that weren't so very good. But when you got saved, that changed. That changed in your life. You're different. You're no longer desirous of indulging in the sinful things. Your character has changed. You've been changed into a kind and a loving and a generous kind of an individual. And that's what Paul saw in these people. There was a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's the first thing that needs to be true of the child of God and of the church of God, that the people of God are changed. They have a desire to worship God, a desire to serve God, and a desire to follow the Lord with all of their hearts. What about their labor of love? The work of faith. The second thing that Paul sees here is their labor of love. Now, there's a difference between work and labor that I want you to see first of all, because the two words in the Greek are different. The word work there is a word that just means any type of work. It can mean light work or heavy work. It can mean work that is laborious, or it can mean work that is just a matter of course. Any of those things. But the second word here, the word that means labor of love here, is a word that always means hard labor. So he speaks here about the hard labor of love. And he says that these people are involved in the hard labor of love. They have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that love, there is evidence of the hard labor of love. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, perhaps I could illustrate it best by thinking about the love of a mother. Now, a mother's love is that of care for the child, and the mother will labor, and the mother will love her child, and when the child is born, and of course at the start, there is that love that is put in, and the mother will happily care for the child, and out of love and all of the rest, there will be that happy labor in looking after the child. But sooner or later, when the child is up at night, every night, or when the child is calling upon you both day and night, and it doesn't seem that there's going to be any rest from this labor, and it seems as if it's going on, and you're absolutely exhausted, and you're at the end of your tether, but you still are laboring because you love the child. That's the labor of love. And that's what he's talking about here. These people here, in the midst of their persecution, and in the midst of the fact that when it had become absolutely hard and difficult and things were going wrong and things weren't what they maybe expected them to be, they were still laboring. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love," and it's the same thing, "which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Labor of love. He says, the love of Christ constraineth us. He said that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who loved us and died for us and rose again. And separation from the world, and separation from the things of sense and time, those are things that maybe become a labor to us. Maybe it's not all easy. The Christian life is never going to be easy. It's not all easy, and it's not all bright. We are not carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize. We've got to fight to win the prize. We've got to labor through when it is difficult and when it is hard. And we need to have that love, that tender affection, not only for the Lord, but for his saints, for his people as well. We need to forbear one another, and we need to bear one another's burdens, and we need to avoid grieving people and causing them to stumble. And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes that is a labor. But Paul looks at these saints and he sees their labor of love. And I hope today that that is something that is seen in us today. I'm not going to get to the end of this message, so I'm just going to look at the three things here. I was going to go on. But look at the third thing here that he mentions. He says, the steadfastness of hope. Now, the patience of hope that he speaks of here, which just means the steadfastness of hope. But look, the Thessalonians now, remember where they are. They're under physical threats. Their church has been attacked. The man who gave his home to be the church, he had been dragged out and brought to the magistrates. He had been beaten up. The apostles who had preached the gospel in their midst had to flee. They had just to get out of the town. What a disappointment that must have been to these new saints. Here's a man who comes and he preaches the gospel to them, and they have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were probably hoping to enjoy the presence of the apostle for a good while, and that he'd be among them and then enjoy the ministry, and that he would build them up and all the rest of these things. But no sooner have they turned and the church is formed than Paul has to get out of the town. And maybe if we had been there, we would have thought, well, what's God doing here? What's going on here? Is God against us? Is this the blessing of God that we're facing attack at the very start, and the man who comes to preach to us has to get out of the town? But Paul says, no, we have patience. Patience. And he means steadfastness here. He means stickability. He means that we don't give up. He means that when things are hard, then we do not stop, but we keep on going. And he speaks about the energy here, or he is really implying that they are to go on, this steadfastness, this patience involved, the fact that they are going to keep on the road that they're going. They're not going to sit down and stop. They're keeping going. And what is keeping them going? Well, hope is keeping them going. Now, if we don't have hope, we will give up. If we don't have hope, we're like a sailboat out in the middle of the ocean where there is no wind. We'll go nowhere. But Paul wants to remind these Christians that there always is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the source of this hope? Well, it is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank God that's the top stone of our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ will come in power and in great glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The hope is in the one who has said that he will come amongst his people. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with thee always, you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the God that we're trusting. And we know that when he comes again, he will come in power and in great glory, and he will set everything to right. And our confidence, our patience, our hope, where's it center? It centers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if it had been on us, well, we'd have right to give up. If it had been on our organization, well, we might as well have given up long ago. If it had been up to our abilities and our power to shake the world or to persuade people, well, again, we should have given up a long time ago. But where is our hope centered? Our hope is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And dear friend, he is our hope today. And what I say to you, if you're cast down, maybe you're facing the burden and the heat of the day in your life, in your work, in your family. Well, dear friend, where do you look? Look to Christ. Not to the minister or to the church, or will we look there in a certain way, but in another way, our hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, the one who has made everything and fashioned all things, the one who has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These are the three marks of the church here. Now, I've only got to my first point. I'm not going on beyond today. This is just the start of the message here. There are other things I'd love to have told you today, but today, let's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at these three marks. He says, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are those three things true of you? Is there a work of faith? Are you Is your faith seen in your life? When others look at you, can they see your work of faith? Can you say that there's a difference in your life? The work of faith. The labor of love. When things are difficult and when things are hard, you labor. Like the mother that gets up in the middle of the night when she's absolutely exhausted. The labor of love. When you are pressed down and feel as if you can't take another step, you still labor, your labor of love and your patience of hope. You don't give up. You don't turn back because you're not depending on yourself or on the minister or on the denomination or anything else. Your eyes are upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Timothy had seen these three things in the church of the Thessalonians, and he reported it back to Paul. And Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all." He was thankful. He was encouraged. He was delighted in what he had learned. And may we too show the characteristics of the church: faith, love, hope. May those things be seen in our lives and in our hearts. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word to our hearts afresh today. We do rejoice in God's provision for his people, and we thank thee for what is said about these people, their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. And we pray that even in these days, we might demonstrate the same graces as we serve thee. Bless us each one. Draw us nigh to thee. Pour out thy blessing upon us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.